I'm pretty much a happy guy, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I am. Yes, I am.
Right now, especially.
Definitely.
You can make yourself happy, and I try to maintain a positive attitude throughout the day, even though sometimes it can be really bad. Music makes me happy like anyone else. Music, you know, where the soul is. Family makes me happy. Money makes me happy sometimes. It depends on the situation.
Spending my time with the family.
People make us happy, you know.
Laughter.
Smiles. Definitely. My dog. Good friends. Good food. Good alcohol. That has to be on there.
Probably that I just don't really care about a lot of things, so I'd say I'm pretty content. I don't know about happy, but fully content at all times. Yeah. Happiness to me would be doing whatever you wanted and feeling good about whatever you're doing at all times.
Pretty much to be carefree, you know? Like no burdens or anything, you're just like kind of free.
Having a good mindset on life and keeping at it.
The definition of happiness is the overwhelming feeling of good and like satisfaction, I want to say, that you get inside, and you can only give it to yourself. No one can really give you happiness. It comes from within.
Yeah, I do.
I believe in spirituality. I believe everybody gets God.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And anything bad comes to us is because of us.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who doesn't like being happy?
Most likely. But, I mean, I could be happy without God as well.
I don't know if he would want us to be happy. I think it's more like...
I think he wants us to experience things, but...
To figure out what is happening.
I don't think he puts us on the planet to be miserable.
To be happy,
Or happy. Yeah. I think he puts us here to kind of figure out what makes us happy.
Hello, Southern California. Good to see you. 26 years, it's hard to believe in. We're just so excited with all that God has done over all these years, but I'm so happy to see you here tonight. Quick poll, how many of you are happy people? Raise your hand up. That's a good thing. Yeah. I believe that deep down inside, everybody wants to be happy. In fact, I think God pre-wired us that way. And this is not unique to the 21st or even the 20th century. This goes back for centuries. Augustine in AD 397 said, quote, every man whatsoever his condition desires to be happy, end quote. Nearly 13 centuries later, French philosopher and mathematician Blaise Pascal wrote, quote, all men seek happiness. This is without exception, end quote. Fast forward to today, the lead singer of one of the biggest rock bands in the world said this, quote, you ask me if I'm happy. Listen, I bought myself a Rolls Royce. I'm part of the biggest band in the world, and I'm about to live in a luxurious mansion. Am I happy with that? He says, no, I'm not. I want more. You know, sometimes we look at the rich and famous and we think, man, if I could live their life, I know I would be happy, would you? Comedian Jim Carrey said, quote, I hope everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever dreamed of, and then they would know that's not the answer, end quote. Comedian Chappelle started to make millions of dollars as his career skyrocketed, and he made this statement about his unhappiness, quote, the higher up I go, the less happy I am, end quote. I just watched a documentary called I Am Chris Farley about the comedian from Saturday Night Live. Chris Farley was the funniest guy, and he made so many people laugh, but he was a miserable guy on the inside. He had serious drug problems. He went to rehab 17 times. Chris's hero was fellow SNL alumni John Belushi, who died of a drug overdose. One of Chris's friends once asked him while he was still alive, Chris, do you want to die like Belushi? And Chris said in response, oh yeah, that would be really cool. And his friend started crying and said, I wept for him. Chris Farley said, I thought if I had enough money in the bank, if I had enough fame, everything would be all right, but I'm a human being like everyone else, and I'm not exempt. Sadly, both Belushi and Farley died from a lethal overdose of heroin and cocaine, and they were both 33 when they died. Apparently, they didn't find the happiness they were looking for. Is happiness a lost cause? Marilyn Manson said, quote, anyone who thinks they're happy should go see a doctor because there's no reason to be happy. Is that true? Milton Berle, the comedian, said, a man doesn't know what true happiness is until he gets married, and then it's too late. George Burns said, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another state. Only I would quote Marilyn Manson and George Burns in the same few sentences strung together. Listen to this. This might surprise you. According to the Bible, by the way, this is the user's manual of life you've been looking for. The Bible tells you everything you need to know about life. It tells you everything you need to know about God. It tells you everything you need to know about being happy. And most importantly, it tells you how you can get to heaven. The Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Read it. But the Bible teaches that God wants us to be happy, but we need to go about it in the right way. I know it won't make you happy. Being beautiful or handsome will not bring personal happiness. I know this from experience. Talking to other people who are beautiful and handsome. 94% of girls age 18 and under wish they were more beautiful. 85% of women over 40 say they're not as attractive as the average woman. That's probably why last year alone, Americans spent $11 billion on cosmetic surgery and a quest for perfection. You know, you say, I want to look like those models on the magazine covers. Newsflash, even the models don't look like the models on the magazine covers. Those people don't even exist. It's called Photoshop, people. But now, it's not just those folks. Everybody wants to get in on it. The 2014 Annual Academy of Facial Plastic Surgery and Reconstructive folks put a survey out, and they said the rise in plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery, is because of the rise of the selfie. We're taking more pictures of ourselves than ever before. We want to look our best. And then there's Botox, you know? I think there's more Botox in California than water right now. Seriously, how many of you have had Botox done? I didn't think you'd raise your hand. Yeah, well, it's really easy to spot a person with a lot of Botox. They have one expression. Or some other version of it. Look, I'm not putting that down. I'm just simply saying, if you think changing your outward appearance is going to bring you personal happiness, you're going to be in for a disappointment, because there's something called gravity that's going to kick in. Here's something else. Having possessions won't bring personal happiness. Time magazine did a cover story called The Real Truth About Money, and they said, quote, clinical depression is 3 to 10 times as common today, more common today than years ago. Money jingles in our wallets and purses like never before, but we're no happier, for more money leads to more depression. That's nothing new. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction is never full, and so is the heart of man never satisfied. Oh, but if I just had the perfect girlfriend or boyfriend or the perfect husband or wife, then I would be happy. So you go out and you get married. And then you say, yeah, maybe if I found another perfect husband or wife, then I would be happy. So you get divorced. And then you remarry again. And then you say, well, if I just had kids, then I would be happy. And you have kids. And then you say, if I could just get rid of these kids, I would be happy. On and on it goes. Always just beyond your reach. Billy Joel has been very successful in his career. He sold 150 million albums. He's been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's in the midst of an unprecedented residency at Madison Square Garden in New York City. He makes $2 million per show. He said recently in an interview, he feels like he's a failure. He says, you just need one love in life, one out of millions to know and accept you and love you for being, well, just the way you are, quoted his own song. Joel says, I see old folks walking down the street. Looks like they've been together 50 years. It's very touching, and I say, why don't I have that? According to this article, Billy has had 3 tortured marriages. And he says this, quote, you can have all the money in the world, all the mansions, all the properties, all the yachts, and all the limousines, and you can have motorcycles, but without love, it doesn't mean a thing. Wow. Let me take it a step further for Billy. Without Jesus, it doesn't mean a thing. You need Jesus. That's the answer. He's the answer. Now, I'm happy to say that I've been married for 41 years. So, it works. My wife, Kathy, is here tonight. She has never thought once of divorcing me in 41 years. Murdering me, yes. Divorcing me, no. But that relationship in and of itself isn't going to do it. Pursuing pleasure will not bring you personal happiness. Let me say something that you might find surprising coming from a preacher. Are you ready for it? Sin can be fun. No, it can be. Well, quick poll. How many of you have ever sinned? Raise your hand. You agree? Wow, this has to be the most sinful bunch of people I've ever seen. First, you lie about Botox, but you admit to your sin. No, but here's the thing. We know sin can be fun, otherwise we wouldn't do it. And even the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a moment, for a time. But then there's the repercussions, man. There's payday that's coming. You have to face the consequences of what you've done. And that thing that was so pleasurable at first comes back to haunt you. And that's why the Bible says the person who lives for pleasure is dead while they're living. Okay, so, all right. Greg, you've told us where not to find happiness. Where do you find it? Well, I heard a song a number of years ago. It says, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. From my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. I know that's not true. So where can you find happiness? Maybe you've wondered about that. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's going to come from a relationship with God. That's where it comes from. The Bible says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. One of the world's foremost experts on happiness. I didn't even know there were experts on happiness, but apparently there are. This lady says, I don't have a religious or spiritual bone in my body, but she acknowledges studies show people with faith in God are happier. Why do you think that is? Because we have hope. Hope brings happiness. See? Because I know there's more to life than what I experience in this world. I know there's an afterlife. I know there's a meaning to this life. I know life is not just random and whatever happens, happens. I know that there's a God. And I also know there's a devil who brings the evil in the world. But if I put my faith in Jesus Christ and follow him, he can bring me that happiness that has eluded me for a lifetime. Here's something that might surprise you. Check this out. God is happy. Did you know that God is happy? Jesus said in John 15, I've told you this to make you happy, just like I am. No doubt about it, Jesus was happy. No wonder the kids were drawn to him. Do you think kids would run up and want to be with someone that had a frown on his face? People were drawn to Jesus because they could see that happiness that he had. And he's called in the Bible the happy God. We read over in Paul's writings where he says, I want to tell you about the good news entrusted to me by our blessed God. And the word blessed can be translated happy. They're interchangeable words. We don't see God that way. We think God is perpetually ticked off at us. God is mad at us, we think. Or at the very least, God is disinterested in us. In his song, Positively 4th Street, Bob Dylan sings, quote, I wish for just one time you could stand inside my shoes and you would know what a drag it is to see you. I love that line. We may feel that way about God, that God looks at us and goes, oh no, here comes Greg. Greg's such a drag. Oh no, it's you. I don't want to see you. No, that's not true. When God looks at you, he smiles. because God loves you. In Numbers chapter 6, the Bible tells the priest to pronounce a blessing on the people. And he says, say to the people, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and peace. God looks at you and he smiles. God cares about you. God knows every detail of your life. Listen to this. God does not have ADD. God's not distracted. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad when you're calling out on the Lord, he's not like updating his, you know, Facebook page or something, checking the newest Instagram posts or tweeting out something. He's looking at you. He's thinking about you. He loves you. He has a plan for you. Who wants to hear a Bible story? Raise your hand. Okay, I've got one for you. Here's the story of a guy that should have been happy by this world's standards. He had everything a person should have to make them happy by this world's standards, but he was not happy at all, and that caused him to go to Jesus. We sometimes refer to this guy as the rich young ruler. The story is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. Let me read it to you. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you ask me about what is good? Only God is good. But to answer your question, you can receive eternal life if you keep the commandments. The young man asked, well, which ones? Jesus replied, well, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said, I've kept all of these commandments since I've been a young man. What else should I do? Jesus said, all right, sell everything that you have, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. And that man went away sadly, for he had many possessions. He was the rich young ruler. What does this mean? Well, to be a ruler in these days, you had to be at least 30. So he's in his early 30s. He's climbed his corporate ladder, if you will. He's a powerful man. He could be a rock star, a hip-hop star. He could be a pro athlete. He could be somebody else that you read about that has come into a lot of money early in life, like a Mark Zuckerberg or someone like that. So just imagine this young guy comes to Jesus. He has the tricked out chariot. You know, it's lowered, super cool wheels. He's holding a latte. Hey, Jesus, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? He asks. Jesus says, keep the commandments. Why did he say keep the commandments? Because no one can keep the commandments. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, but this is the whole point. He wanted to show this young man how much he needed forgiveness because he had broken the commandments. You know, there are people today that say, I don't need Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments are all the religion I need. So you ask them, well, can you quote any of the Ten Commandments? Yes, I can. I can't remember them right now. Yeah, so you live by them, but you can't even remember them. A survey revealed that more people know the names of the four Beatles than a single commandment. Yeah, I got that down. You know, John, Paul, George, Ringo, but I can't think of a single commandment. Well, that's why Jesus brought this out. He's showing this young man, you've broken these commandments. I met a young girl not long ago. She had gotten very strung out on drugs. In fact, she was addicted to heroin. Because of her excessive drug use, she was paralyzed from the waist down. She came to our church. She had just committed her life to Christ. You could see the ravages that the drugs had taken on her beautiful face, but she believed in Jesus, and she made the statement to me, and I remembered it. She said, I've broken every commandment except one. Probably murder, I assume. She hadn't done that one, but she had done all the rest. But God changed her, and I saw her about 2 months later. She didn't even look like the same girl. She had a glow from the inside. Christ had changed her, and he can change you tonight, no matter what you've done, even if you've broken all 10 commandments. Listen, the most important decision that you will ever make is the decision about Jesus Christ. That is a choice that is before you right now. Listen to this. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You know, when I heard that as a 17-year-old kid, I looked around at other people at this little meeting I went to, this little Bible study where a preacher said that, and I thought to myself, these other Christians listening to this, they're definitely for him. And then I thought, well, I'm not one of them. Does that mean I'm against him? Well, actually, I was. You can't be neutral about Jesus. This is a yes or no proposition. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. Then he voluntarily went to the cross and died in our place. Why did he do that? Because we're all sinners, and we have all fallen short of God's glory, and we have all broken God's commandments. But the good news is Christ died for our sins. He absorbed God's wrath. He paid the price for the wrongs we've done, and he rose again from the dead, and he's standing right now at the door of your life, and he is knocking. And he is saying, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. And you might be thinking, well, how do you open the door of your heart? You do it through prayer. And I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer where you would be asking God to forgive you, where you would be asking Jesus to come into your life. It's the most important choice you will ever make. And if you would like to choose Jesus Christ right now, if you would like to be forgiven of your sin and go to heaven when you die, why don't you just pray this prayer out loud even after me right now? Just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but you died on that cross for me because you love me. And then you rose again from the dead. I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it now. I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior and Lord and be my God and my friend. I choose to follow you, Lord, from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray.